I don't mean to be selfish, but nobody claps for me. Good. Good job. He stayed. You're grabbing me to drink, Gene. Oh, my. Hey, the game doesn't start till 3:30, so there's no need to be looking at your watches. We got plenty of time. I'll get you out of here before that. You know, like I said in Pine Grove this morning, we're all are kind of creatures of habit, right? We like to get into our routines and do things. And this is a little different for us, for a message portion of our Sunday worship. But so I can get you caught up. I know there's two steps we've got to do. First of all, God's perfect. We are not perfect. And so we don't try to be. Somebody should say amen to that. That's part one. And then part two, I don't know if I told you, but I've got a really good friend who's got a stuttering problem. And he just got thrown in prison, and I'm afraid he won't be able to finish his sentence. So, they clap for you, Jeff. You see what I got? No, I have been redoing the electrical at Pine Grove. Did I tell you guys that downstairs? I probably am not the guy that should be doing that. I'm not. People find out how bad of an electrician that I am, they're shocked. Have we filled the boxes okay? All right, let's move on. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this chance to dig back into your word. And Lord, we thank you for the message of the ministry we just heard. And I pray that you can bless this next one as well. As Father, we want to get to know you better. And the more we know you, the more we want to be like you. And so, Father, lead us into the principles today. Write them on our hearts so that we can take them into our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, there is a football game on today. And I gotta confess on you here. Don't share anything with me, Mike, because I'll share it with everybody. But I'm so impressed. He is a manly man, working in concrete, just retired, 55 years married. And then he told me earlier he's a Swiftie. A Swiftie. You just blew my whole image, Mike. Go Chief. All right. We'll get to that game later, but we'll get into our message today. Everybody got your Bibles opened up? Ephesians chapter 5. I'm behind on you. There you go. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. And Jeff talked a lot about the children today, and I want to come to us as well, something that we can take away and put to use in our personal lives. But the importance of our children, I mean, that can never be stressed enough. The importance of those young boys and those young girls who truly are blessings. They are real gifts from God. And we read about that in Psalm 127, verse 3. The psalmist writes, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him." And I got to believe that everybody in here feels that same way. No one would dispute that children can be a gift, even though sometimes they can be a little challenging. I'm not making eye contact with Shannon. We know Harley's a good kid. All of us want our children to do well because they're so, not just young, but also fragile and vulnerable. And they can be naive and they can be impressionable. Completely dependent on adults now for their care and for their protection. But what I think is even more important is they are completely dependent on God-fearing and God-loving and God-teaching adults to lead them into the way of the Lord. The most important thing that you can teach a child. See this in Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And most of you are probably more familiar with the King James Version. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Folks, He wants us to raise kids, and He wants us to influence kids, and He wants us to be an example to kids. And we do that ourselves by having faith like a kid's, by having faith like a child's. That's kind of worth repeating. God wants us to train up our children in the way that they should go. But as we're doing that, then we ourselves need to have that faith like a child. Jesus spoke about this. This is from Matthew 18:3. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." Luke 18:17. "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Childlike eyes as we approach the throne of God. Faith like a child's. Now earlier this morning, I picked on Linda May a little bit. She was gone in Hawaii. Most of you know she's back now. So I thought I could get away with picking on her, but she was actually sitting there. I had to do it in front of her this morning. Most of you know Linda May. And for those of you who don't know her that well, Linda May is, she is a energizer bunny. Go, 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 go. She's baking cookies. She's baking pie. She's involved with the Soul Sisters. She helps with the Jesus Gypsies, all the different church activities. She's always going, going, going. And I'm sure you can kind of get the picture on that if you haven't met her. But something else about Linda May, she was born during World War II. And I wouldn't share her age, but you can probably do a little math in your head. I don't want to pin a number to that. But Linda May's old enough that she remembers the people on money. Explain that one to your neighbor. Pine Grove did much better than you did, by the way, on that one. Yeah. Are we good now, Donna? All right. Linda May is not a spring chicken anymore. And I told her I'm going to buy her lunch and give her an apology after going through this. But the reason I bring that up is our sister in Christ is also someone who is just hungering for the Word of God. She is just striving after developing that relationship with her Father. She digs into the Word. She's reading books on prayer. She wants to grow closer to Him. She reads devotionals to get her mind set for the day and her spirit set for the day. She's truly working and pursuing a father-daughter relationship with God Almighty. And folks, that's what a childlike faith is like. It's not religion, but developing that relationship with your Heavenly Father. That's the faith of a child. Everybody still got your Bibles opened up? Still? I do it every week, right, Nona? You are really screwing me up. You guys over here and you guys over here. Talk about routines. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Give me a yeehaw if you're there. All right. "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love." Follow God's example. You want to know what you're supposed to do when you become saved? That's about as simple as it gets right there. That is bare line basics, walking in your faith. Follow the example of God. Walk in the way of love. Three words, perfect. Follow God's example. Brothers and sisters, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have confessed Him as Lord of your life, if you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead, folks, if you have done that, not only are you saved, but you are right now a son or a daughter of the living God. That's worth a couple amens at least. You are right now a son or daughter of a God who loves you like no other. We are God's children. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. That's John 1:12. Children of God. So what Paul is writing about in this letter here is that since we are God's children, shouldn't we be trying to follow his holy and his righteous example? And shouldn't we be doing our best to live a life that reflects that earthly life of Jesus Christ? Not just words, but living out our faith. And we've got the example. And I know none of us are going to be perfect on that. We confess up front almost every Sunday that none of us are perfect. But God has given us a helper. He's given this indwelling Holy Spirit. He's gifted His Spirit to us. And right now, that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave, that same power is inside of you. And you want to walk in his way, all you have to do is submit to it. And you do that by having that faith like a child's. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Pretty cool. Amen? So how do we do that? Well, earlier we mentioned the children are vulnerable and they're totally reliant on their parents for growth and protection and development. And folks, what we ought to have to do is approach our relationship with God in that same kind of way, with those same eyes. And we see that in the example of the relationship between the Son of God and the Heavenly Father. Faith like a child. Basically, we work on these attributes. The attributes that we see in the Son, Jesus Christ. Very first thing, these are your notes here, is having that humility. Having that reverence for God. That comes when we understand our position before him. He is God Almighty and we are not. That's what the Old Testament calls the fear of the Lord. It's understanding, taking to heart that everything that we have, that every blessing that has been given to us, every opportunity that he gives us to suffer. Does it sound funny when I say it that way? Every opportunity that he gives us to suffer, those are all gifts from God, because that opportunity helps us grow in our faith. We look on all those things and we just know in our hearts that God has given them to us to make us better, to make us holy. Not necessarily emotionally happy, but to make us holy. And he does that because we are nothing and he is everything. And we are dirty, and he's the one who cleans us up. And we are condemned, but he is the one who saves us. And so we need to approach him humbly on our knees before the throne. Second thing there, have complete trust in him. Complete trust. Folks, faith is more than just believing in God. Faith goes back to that word relationship, living it out, not just words. That relationship between a father and a son, a father and a daughter. He is a good, good God. And we have to have that trust in him, that everything that he puts into our lives, that everything he works for us, he's working for our good. He's a good father. Frank openness. Number three, frank openness. Mostly I'm talking about our side of the relationship here. You know, we're the ones that are still prone to sin. We're the ones that still fall to temptation. We are the ones that need to come to him in confession and repentance. Jesus Christ was also open and frank with the Father. Not in a sense that he needed to confess and to repent, but he would say what was on his heart and what is on his mind. Even the Son prayed to the Father. Read John chapter 17 sometime. Beautiful prayer. Jesus Christ is the one who said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, but yours. Even Jesus was frankly open with the Father. And I tell you, if you've done something that needs confession, admit it. Don't try to hide it. I know what you did when you were kids. You did something, you hid it from your dad, right? Don't let dad find out. I think we all did that to some extent, right? This dad knows what you did. So it's always best to come clean with him in confession and repentance. And folks, it just rebuilds your spirit and it puts you right before him. You know, if you had a human father that gave you that forgiveness and that mercy, I mean, how much more is your heavenly Father going to do that for you? Be open with him. And then the last thing there, that complete and total sincerity to him, not just words, but true love expressed, true faith. Walking the walk, not just doing the talk there. And I shared this morning, it kind of takes me back to when I was a kid. I don't know, 7 or 8, Mom can tell you a little bit later. But our practice for Christmas time, two sisters and one brother, we usually got one nice present, one real big good one, and then we had some other ones that we could play with. And there was a time where all the presents were opened, and my sisters and my brothers, they had their cool stuff, and they had their little stuff, and I did not. And of course, you're young, and you're selfish a little bit, and the emotions are going like, well, I kind of got forgotten this year. And then my dad walked down the hall, and he came back out, and he drops this box on my lap, and this little puppy came jumping out of there on my chest and licking my face. Ugly little dog, little pug. But man, I tell you, I could not stop bawling. And it's more than just loving that little dog, but I knew my folks, that my dad and my mom loved me too, and I could not hold back that return, that sincerity. Folks, that's what we need to have in our relationship with God, especially when we think about everything that He has done for us. We shouldn't just be going through the motions and saying thank you, but truly dwelling on everything that He has done and everything that He has given up and everything He sacrificed in order to reconcile us back to Him. If you think about that, if you dwell on that, I don't think there's any way you can hold back that love. This is from a Puritan's prayer. Christ was all anguish that I might be all joy, cast off that I might be brought in, trodden down as an enemy that I might be welcomed as a friend, surrendered to hell's worst that I might attain heaven's best, stripped that I might be clothed, wounded that I might be healed, thirst that I might drink, tormented that I might be comforted, made ashamed that I might inherit glory, entered darkness that I might have eternal light. That's some powerful stuff what He has done for us, folks. And that's what we need to dwell on as we return sincerely that love that He's shown us. You know, I talked about Linda May a little bit there. She's not a spring chicken. And I owe her lunch. And she's probably made more trips around the sun than most of us have. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, she is a great example of having faith like a child's. And she shows us that it doesn't matter how many birthdays you've had, and it doesn't matter if physically you are doing well or physically you're broken. It doesn't matter if your life right now is all roses or if your life right now is all thorns. None of that matters. But what does matter is growing young in your faith as you grow old in this planet. Grow young in faith as you grow old on this planet. We want to train up our children in the way that they should go, but let's also receive the kingdom like little children. And we do that by following the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have faith like a child's. Amen? Let's pray. Once again, Lord, we just thank You for Your words, and we thank You so much for all that You have done for us and demonstrating Your love. Father, there's no way we can return that, but we want to try. And so, Lord, I just pray that You fill us with Your Holy Spirit. You give us eyes to see You, and then, Lord, let that love just pour out. We thank You for being a God who wants to spend an eternity with us all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Once